We will be today looking at a portion of the scriptures that is going to be dealing directly with the Lord Jesus. That's found in John chapter 9. John chapter 9, and I'll let you turn to that now. John chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 9. I'm sorry, chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 1. And I'm reading from the New American Standard. I hope that's okay. And we will start right now, John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as he, that is, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and applied the clay to his eyes, and said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated, sent. And so he went away and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, Is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, This is he, and still others were saying, No, but he's like him. And he kept saying, I am the one. Therefore they were saying to him, How then were your eyes opened? And he answered, The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. And they said to him, Where is he? And he said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees him who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on that day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Again, therefore, the Pharisees also were asking him how he received his sight. And he said to them, He applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. They said therefore to the blind man again, What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. The Jews therefore did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight, and questioned them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see? And his parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him, he's of age, he shall speak for himself. And his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him to be Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, He is of age, ask him. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner. He therefore answered, Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They said therefore to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? And they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, Well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet He opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does His will, He hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are teaching us?" And they put him out. Jesus heard that he had been put out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "And who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is standing talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. I don't know about you folks, but every time I read that, especially when I read that publicly, I'm amazed at the, I don't even want to say conversation, I'm amazed at the debate and the arguing and the contention that exist in these verses. In fact, it's very much like the debate and the arguing and the contention that very much happens during our time almost every day. Is there ever anything so simple that it can be decided with a yes or a no? It doesn't seem like it in this time, does it? It's this huge debate. What do we have to do to figure out what we're going to do? Well, we have to form a committee. We have to talk about it. We have to do this. We have to do that. We have to worry about who wants this and who wants that. And here we see not only people that were seeing this blind man for years. They don't know who he is. They're arguing with him. Then we see the Pharisees. They want to know what's going on. They're arguing with him. They want him to tell the truth again. And then we even see his parents who are saying, "I don't know what the story is. I've already told you." It's amazing that here we see a very simple passage about the Lord Jesus Christ and a miracle that he does get confused by people. And isn't that the truth about things about the Lord Jesus? They get confused by people. It's real simple. Here the Lord Jesus is passing by, walking around. And he saw a man blind from birth. Multitudes were surrounding him. Many people were around. And he picks out the man blind from birth. Jesus picks him. Jesus picks him. We could say that this is probably one of the lowliest of all people. He was probably a beggar, asking for alms day in and day out. "Can you spare a dime? Excuse me, can you help out? Do you have anything to lend?" And this one person, the lowliest of the low, Jesus comes to him. Folks, I don't know about you, but how often do we pass by people? We just pass them by. I was in Philly last week, driving by, and it wasn't a very busy time, but there were people that were there. And back in the day, we would probably describe them as asking for alms. Now we're saying they're begging. And people were just passing them by. It's amazing that the Lord Jesus, he really didn't care about this fellow's socioeconomic status. He really didn't care about his abilities or his disabilities. He didn't care if he cleaned houses or built houses or sat out front of a house begging. He didn't care about that, but he cared about the person. Believer, I don't know about you, but every time I read a portion of Scripture like this, especially how the Lord Jesus cares about the individual, it's convicting. Here's a fellow blind from birth, and he cares about him. How much often is our reaction like his disciples? What do his disciples say? Verse 2. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi or Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? You know, folks, we see many people in situations all the time that are difficult. Nowadays, we have people that are going through things, Glenn mentioned it, that are very difficult. Financial things. There must have been three or four people that we needed to pray for who are battling with cancer. We know people that are involved in divorce situations, that are broken up, split up, families in ruin, sick, unable to care for themselves, financially desperate, credit card debt mounting up, tens of thousands of dollars, foreclosures on mortgages. And the fact of the matter is, how often do we say, boy, that person really must have got themselves in a whole heap of trouble. They must have really messed up. And folks, I'm not saying that there is a cause and effect type of a relationship. If you buy thousands upon thousands of dollars with a credit card, eventually that statement's going to come due, right? You're going to get a bill in the mail. But the fact of the matter is, we very much, many times, look at people that are in poor shape, that are bad off, and we wonder, if not verbally, we wonder with our mind, oh, they must have really been involved in a lot of sin. I'm glad I'm not like that. I'm glad my parents sinned. I can see pretty good. I'm glad my parents didn't sin. I can see pretty good. And here's what the disciples ask him. Who sinned? You know, this blind fella right here, it was pretty bleak for him. It was bleak. I want you to transport yourself back in that day some 2,000 years ago that this was a disability of momentous proportion. There weren't any books on tapes. Think about it. There wasn't any handicapped or disability accessible switch that you can flick on your computer that reads things to you. There wasn't Braille. There wasn't Social Security insurance. There wasn't the ability to go to a school and learn to function and to get along in the world with this disability. There weren't guide dogs. This was a bleak situation. He probably begged. In fact, we know he begged for what little he had. Practically helpless. And you know, folks, if this isn't a picture of us spiritually before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ, what is? Scripture tells us that we, without Christ, are helpless. Scripture says we are dead in our sins. We don't even have the ability, if we're dead, to get ourselves in a better situation. Nothing this man could do could change the fact that he was blind. No matter how hard he wanted it to do it, no matter how much money he invested in it, no matter how much time he dedicated to it, the fact of the matter is, he was blind, and only Jesus could do something about it. You know, there are a lot of folks, and I'm sure this fellow worked real hard. I'm sure this fellow worked real hard begging, no doubt about it. I'm sure he did the best that he could possibly do with the circumstances and the situation that he was given. And there are a lot of people that are working real hard to be religious. They're reading their Bible, they're reading their Quran, they're reading their whatever. They're praying, they may be praying 5 or 6 times a day. They may be going down on their knees and bowing down and praying 5 or 6 times a day to have that relationship with God. But the only way that that can happen, just like the only way that this fellow right here who is blind could see, the only way that we can have a relationship with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. No matter how hard we work, no matter how much we do, how much we give. Lord Jesus Christ is walking by and he sees this blind man and his disciples say, "Who sinned? Him or his parents?" Jesus sets them straight, doesn't he? Verse 3 right here. Jesus answered, and if this isn't underlined in your Bible, if you underline, underline it. Jesus answered, and he says, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him." It was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. I think the King James says, "be made manifest." Is that right? Yes. Might be displayed or be made manifest in him. I think most of us would probably think, and obviously there's a natural link there, that when Jesus talks about the works of God being displayed or made manifest in him, what is he talking about? I think most of us would probably say that it's directly related to the fact that Jesus was going to heal him. I'm not going to argue with that. I think there is a piece there. But I'll tell you what. All I know that at the end of this portion of in this chapter, what was happening in verse 38, and that is the man who was once blind but now could see, the Lord Jesus finds him again. Verse 35, the Lord Jesus finds him again. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "And who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said, "You've both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Folks, there are 2 miracles that are happening in this portion of Scripture that we've just read. The physical miracle of this fellow seeing again, and the spiritual miracle of him worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. So while the Lord Jesus says it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents in verse 3, it was in order that the works of God might be displayed or made manifest in him. It's more than just the healing. More than just the healing. Folks, there are people that we know of, and I'm sure that we are probably in some instances maybe even part of this, that are in difficult times right now. Right now. That are suffering things, that are struggling with things, that are dealing with things. And the fact of the matter is, God may not remove them from us. He may not. He may not. He may not. A couple of weeks ago, I was on the laptop, and I brought it home over the weekend, and I was working out, I was doing a PowerPoint thing and jumping to Excel, and the laptop's kind of a funny screen, and these are all excuses to what I think is wrong, but I'm not really too sure. And then after that, and I've always had really, really good vision. Really good. I went to the eye doctors a couple of years ago. He says, you know, you're probably going to be seeing me in a couple of years. I said, for what? He says, well, you know, you're at that age now. So a few weeks ago, I'm sitting there with a laptop working over the weekend and working on this thing, and you're really concentrating, and I'm right-handed, right eye dominant, and all of a sudden, in the last couple of weeks, I've noticed that my left eye works a little bit better than my right. And I'm saying, well, there's got to be something wrong here. And you know what? The fact of the matter is, I'll probably make an appointment. It hasn't healed itself. I'll probably make an appointment in a couple of days to see the eye doctor. But the fact of the matter is, and I've prayed. I've said, Lord, take care of this eye. Take care of it. Make it okay. But the fact, I can still see a very good-looking crowd here. Very good-looking. I can still see out of it. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord may not heal or restore that vision in there. He may not. He may not heal from cancer. He may not miraculously take care of a debt situation. He may not restore a person to walking as they used to walk, right, Bob, when they were 40 years old. He may not do that. And we so very much in the time in which we live want the Lord to take care of it like that. And if He doesn't take care of it like that, then something's wrong. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord may not take care of it like that, but that does not make verse 3 untrue in our lives. The disciple says, Why is that person like that? Who sinned, Jesus? And Jesus says, nobody sinned. It wasn't him. It wasn't his parents. This has happened in order that the mighty works of God could be displayed in him. How often have we seen the Christian man who doesn't have any arms playing, the musical artist playing his guitar with his feet? The works of God displayed in him. How often have we seen somebody struggling with a situation or a condition, and another person just finds out the news that they have the same thing, and that person who's been dealing with it comes alongside that person that just found out and pulls them in and walks alongside them and encourages them in the Lord, the mighty works of God being displayed in that situation. You know what, folks? The mighty works of God aren't just displayed when healing happens like that. When situations are erased, when things are canceled out, the works of God are displayed when we conform ourselves to His will, learn and grow and mature in Christ, and encourage and help others, and draw others to Christ because of those situations. That's a mighty work of God. I can almost see, folks, this fella. Jesus takes care of this mud, he applies it to his eyes, and he says, go to the pool and wash. Now here's the thing, he goes to the pool and washes. He does what he's told to do. Go figure, why not? I might as well try it, right? Can't hurt anything. So he goes there, he washes, and he comes back seeing. And here we see a portion of Scripture from verse 8 down for a few verses. And the neighbors, therefore, who had previously saw him as a beggar, were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. And still others were saying, no, but he kind of looks like him. And then the fellow saying, it's me, it's me, it's me. And here he comes back, and the reaction of the neighbors to me is absolutely amazing and testifies to the miracle that Jesus did. Here he's coming back, he's walking from the pool, he's walking and he can see. He's not bumping into things. He doesn't have to watch the camels and the horses going. He's never seen those before. Everything's new. Here they saw this fellow, the neighbors, for years. Years, years, years. Every day they saw him. They knew where he sat. They knew where he begged. They saw him when he was a little fellow. They saw him when he was a teenager. They saw him when he was an adult. There he was all the time. They talked with him, no doubt. And they are not sure if it's him or not. Folks, let me say this to you, that because of what Jesus did to this fellow's life, there was a total transformation that occurred. A total transformation. And folks, the picture here is a mighty work of God. 2 Corinthians 15:17, and I'm going to read it so there's no confusion. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I said 15 first, and this is what it says. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things are new, or new things have come. This now seeing man would never do the things, many of the things he had done before. This now seeing man would now be able to do so many things that he's never done before. This man is now a new creature. Believers, when we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are born again, a miraculous, spiritual miracle occurs. We become a new creature. New. New. Indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We may bump into people that have known us for years. And because of who we are now in Christ, they're not too sure if it's us or not. How many have ever known somebody from work? And you know, we very much categorize our lives, but these are our work acquaintances. We know somebody for work at work, and we're walking down the road or we're going someplace and we see him in a store, and it's like, is that Sharon? Is that her? It might be, kind of looks like her, but I'm not really too sure. Folks, these neighbors had really no clue who this fellow was, although they'd seen him for years because of what Jesus had done in his life. As Christians, the Lord Jesus, we know this, wants us to be different than when we were not Christians. 1 Peter calls us a peculiar people, a strange people, a different people. And that's the way it should be. I want us to take some time, folks, to look at this blind man, and I want once blind man, and I want us to look at three areas in his life that were changed because of Christ. Remember, three areas of his life in which the mighty works of God were displayed. Let's take a look at his talk. He's saying different things. He's testifying to the Pharisees. He's saying in verse 30, well, here's an amazing thing that you don't know where he is, and yet he opened my eyes. His talk is different. No longer is he out there on the side of the street asking for money, begging for money. Do you have any change you can spare? Can you help somebody that is blind? Can you be of some assistance, please? He's not saying those things anymore. In fact, he's probably saying things like, hey, that's a nice looking camel you have there. He's never seen that before. You know, Scripture says in Psalm 19:14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Believer, I have the question, and the question I'm asking myself is our talk seasoned with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, I work in a middle school, and right now, this time of year in a middle school, it's a really crazy time, right? We're done Christmas vacation. This is when the kids who weren't doing too good in September, October, November, they start to really, they don't do much better in February, March either, but they just start becoming worse and worse academically. We have academic concern letters that are going home. We have failure letters that are going home. Kids are getting into their third and fourth suspension, which means all of these different types of things are happening. Standardized testing is coming up. Budgets are due. These things are due, and it's just a very, very difficult time of the year. And I remember the last week or so that I stopped myself because my response to my teachers was sharper than it was a month or so ago. I was kind of convicted by the Holy Spirit, but boy, that came out really sharp. That came out sharp. Ooh. I said what I needed to say, but I didn't need to say it like that. And after a difficult day coming home and Daddy, can we play softball? Not right now. Can't right now. Later. And later it ever comes. But we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, just like this once blind man is talking differently, we need to talk differently with our words seasoned with grace. Or are they sharp and rude and unpleasant? Do we talk like and about the things that we talked like and about the things before we were saved? About 3 or 4 weeks into the school year, I asked Sarah, our oldest, I said, Sarah, do you think your teacher is a Christian? And she said, I don't think so, Daddy. And I said, why not? And she says, well, she takes the Lord's name in vain. So our words do testify of our relationship with the Lord. Not only was this fellow's talk different, but his thoughts were different. No longer did he have to think about how he was going to cross the street or if he was going to get run over by a horse, or if he was going to bump into something, or where he was going to get his next few cents because he couldn't see, or where he was going to get assistance from going to this point to that point. No wonder that no longer did this fellow have to think about, I wonder if it's going to rain soon. I can't see the clouds. I wonder if it's going to rain soon. His thought life was different. You know, this is one thing that a lot of believers have difficulty with. Our thought life. We as believers are supposed to have pure thought lives. And many of us will say, you know, I can't control what I think, what pops into my mind, I can't control. Or the world will say, well, you know, I might be married, but I can't, that doesn't mean I can't look at the menu. Right? The Scripture says in Philippians 4:8, and it talks about our thoughts and our minds. And it says our mind should be on things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and of good reputation, excellent, worthy of praise. Scripture says in Philippians, let your mind dwell on those things. Jesus went so far to say, I've never committed adultery. And Jesus goes so far as to say, you think about it. You think about it. You do it. I don't know, but one of the things that as we are in this world and we see things and things pop into our mind and things are in there and they're kind of rolling around and we know they shouldn't be in there, how do we get them out? And I think the only thing that we can do is replace those thoughts with the thoughts of Jesus Himself. Johnny, our 5-year-old, somewhere along down the line, he ran across like a Scooby-Doo video or something like that. You know, Scooby-Doo, whoopee-woo, right? And in there was a mummy. Now, not a mommy, a mummy. And the mummy was doing what mummies do, right? Chasing somebody, chasing Scooby-Doo. Well, every once in a while, he'll say to me, to us, he'll say, Daddy, he'll say to me, Daddy, I got mummies in my head. And he's serious, right? He's serious. I got mummies in my head. Especially when we're going to sleep. Daddy, I'm thinking of mummies. That's scary for us. Scary. Daddy, what do I do with? I'm thinking of mummies. I say, well, buddy, we got to think of Jesus. That's what we have to do. We have to think of Jesus. Let's sing a song, Johnny. Jesus loves me, this I know. Right? And that's simple, isn't it? I'm thinking of mummies. Put Jesus in there. But folks, we have the ability to do that as well. This once blind man is not thinking about things that he thought of before he could see. You know what? This fellow's walk was different as well. This once blind man did not engage in the same things that he's engaging in now that he can see. The things that he was doing The way he was walking, the things he was doing are different now since Jesus healed him. They're different. He's no longer spending his time looking for handouts, begging, "You have anything? You have this?" He's no longer walking down the street blind and aimlessly wandering and trying to figure out his way. His walk is different. The things that he does is different. I think one of the most challenging questions I think we can ever ask ourselves in times like these is this: what am I doing with my time and my energies and my resources? How am I acting? There is such a pull for our time. It's easy with money, folks. You know what I mean? I mean, if you have a couple of extra bucks, give a couple of bucks, here you go. Boom, done, over with. That's it. It's easy. Time and energies is difficult. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are supposed to act and think and talk and walk differently than before we were believers. This once blind man shows us that. You know what? What a terrible thing it would be if this once blind man came back from the pool seeing. And he walked over to where he used to sit, sat down, picked up his cup to get handouts, closed his eyes, and never opened them again. That's a tragedy, right? That's a tragedy of epic proportions. But folks, that's what many of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, when God works that miracle of salvation in our life, that's many times in many situations exactly what we do. We do the things we did before Christ. And that's just as much of a tragedy as if this blind man shut his eyes and never opened them up. You see, the Lord Jesus saves us for a purpose. And what is that purpose? So that His mighty acts may be displayed in us. That's the purpose. Scripture says, whatever we do in word or in deed, do all of it to the glory of God. That's a tall task, folks. That's a tall task. And you know what? There's a progression there, and there's a walk of faith there, and there's a discipleship there, and there's an encouragement there. But the fact of the matter is, don't ever let us go back and sit in the same places before we were saved and close our eyes, never to open them again. You know what, this fellow right here, he's encouraging to me, this once blind fella. His life was transformed by God. And his transformation, his testing was pretty tough. Shortly thereafter, after he got his sight, what's he doing? He's debating with the religious leaders of the times. It was tough. But his life was transformed. I hope that it is encouraging to you as well. And I'll say this to you, my friend, you may be here and you may not be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, and these are Scripture's words, the fact of the matter is, spiritually, unless Jesus works a work of salvation in our life, spiritually, we are much like, exactly like that blind man sitting there begging, spiritually speaking. Scripture says, before Christ we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And the only one that can transfer us out of that dead state, that blind state, is Jesus Christ himself. Father, we do thank you for this time that we can gather together and for these portions of Scripture. Father, how simple it was. He once was blind, but now because of the Lord Jesus, he now can see. Father, we thank you that that is not only physical, but that is spiritual as well. Father, help us not to look at people like those disciples did, but cause us to be drawn to people that are there, that need Jesus. And help us to, as Jesus did, go to them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.